Good morning, church.
Y buenos días, iglesia. Zion versus Babylon. And they're both interesting concepts. The Bible has a habit of taking a location and transforming that location into a spiritual concept. Zion is still around. It's a hill outside of Jerusalem. But it became known as being just a tremendous spiritual concept of righteousness. So much so that most folks don't know that Zion actually really exists. I didn't know for a long period of time that Zion actually really exists to this day. But it is a concept now that means righteousness. It is where God lives. Babylon is probably a bit more infamous, if you will. Babylon was the great opponent for Israel for many years, and it became the symbol of all evil for the entire world in the Bible. Babylon is no longer there. Babylon has been destroyed, but the memory of Babylon and what Babylon means is through the entire Bible, all the way up to the book of Revelation. And I want to read from that book, chapter 18, verses 1 through 20. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 20. For this sermon, I'll be reading from the New American Standard. And we're going to see a detail of Babylon, the rise of evil, and thank God, the fall of evil. But as we read, we're going to identify what evil looks like. And I ask you that if we see ourselves in that picture of Babylon, my request for you this morning is to escape Babylon, to walk away from Babylon, and to walk into Zion. Verse 1, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Because all sin is going to fall one day. She has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, leave this place, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as the heavens, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds in the cup which she has mixed twice as much for her. To the degree that she has glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says to in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning." Such is the state of sin, thinking sin will always go on forever, that they are invincible. For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. In some ways, she's kind of the fallen bride of Christ. She was supposed to be what Christ wanted. She's supposed to be the one that Christ also wanted to be with, but she has committed immorality against God. She has gone against God. She is not she who is the church. She is not she who is the bride of Christ. In some ways, you can compare Babylon not only with Zion, but against the church as well. Verse 9, "And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city of Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour your judgment has come.' And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore, cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from every costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives." Sins everywhere, it's saying. This sinful part of her touched every aspect there was. "The fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city.' She who has clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, such great wealth has been laid waste. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning. What city is like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she has been laid waste. Even though sin deserves punishment, even though people who do sin deserve punishment, it is never a happy thing. It is not a happy sight. There's mourning over anybody, any individual who receives punishment for their sins. Because even though people think they're master of their sins, they become victims of their sins. We should feel sorry for anybody who is victimized by their own sins. Even if they think they're master of their sins, we should feel sorry for these people because sin will destroy anybody. And this great city, which should have been the bride of Christ, this great city, which Christ died for, is now gone low, now gone to waste. But rejoice over her, O heavens, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Ultimately speaking, however, God's way is going to be the way. God's truth is going to be the truth. As sad as it is for somebody and for sin to go and to be destroyed, we also rejoice in the fact that God's word lasts forever and ever. God's power is true. And what God said is going to happen. Walk away from Babylon and join Zion. What have we learned from these passages here? What do we see here? Again, the name Babylon brings to mind the idea of Babel. It's very hard to escape the idea of Babel, the Tower of Babel, from Babylon. And both of these words kind of come from the idea of babbling, if you will, talking nonsense to one another. The Tower of Babel was a giant tower that was built up, but God caused them to speak nonsense to each other, babbling to each other. Historians are always trying to find a link between Babel and Babylon. It's unclear, but also kind of clear. They're kind of linked together. In the end, the Tower of Babel was one of the first major rebellions against God. And Babylon became a culture very against that of God and who God stands for. And the word babbling is counter to the idea that God doesn't want us speaking nonsense and doing sin, but speaking salvation and order from our lips. So it's very appropriate for John to call the sin that caused the earth to go against God, the sin that has led to so much confusion, Babylon. I follow a policy personally called Know Your Enemy. I want to know about sin. I want to identify sin so I can avoid it, first of all, and see how it looks. But also I want to make sure it's not within myself. And so John breaks down these Babylonian characteristics. How does this look? Let's break down some very important aspects of what Babylon looks like so that we can also avoid looking like Babylon and remain looking like the church, remain in Zion. John says that Babylon was a home for demons. Demons lived in Babylon. And what do? Demons whisper. Demons cause problems. Demons are against the word of God. 1 Timothy 4:1 says that demons right now, demons as we speak, 1 Timothy 4:1, are currently doing this. But the Spirit says that in later times, and that is now, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. There is a doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of God, and there are also fully fledged, spelled out doctrines of demons. Just because it's spelled out and fully fledged and has many people following it does not mean it's a doctrine of God. There are doctrines of demons and they are part of what Babylon is. Be sure to figure out and read the word of God and stand firm for the doctrine of God. It says that this Babylon is foul. In the NLT, the word foul is used. It's a foul spirit. Vultures live there. What do? Vultures feed on the dead. They're not necessarily birds you want to see. They're not pretty birds. They feed on dead things because death is there where Babylon is. It is a home of animals. And animals in the Bible says, don't act like animals. Jude chapter 1, verse 10 says that people who are living in sin are acting like unthinking animals. Because animals do whatever they want. Animals have no discipline unless we give it to them. Animals are wild. But that we as Christians are not supposed to be wild. We have control over our devices, control over our bodies. We can say no to things. We're not driven by instinct and merely instinct. The Bible says Babylon is where animals dwell, where vultures live. It's a foul spirit there. It says that Babylon is a passion-based. She's driven by her passions. I said this past week that I pray that we are Christians in very passionate, exciting times. And I pray we are Christians in boring times. I pray we have the same Christianity. I pray we are not motivated to obey God only when we're excited about God. But I pray we obey God even when it's not so exciting. But the world can only act upon excitement. There are passion-based people. There are people who live from boredom to boredom. But in between, they're excited. That's their life. But between that excitement is pure boredom. It says this lady, that this Babylon is a passion-based spirituality. Again, passion is good. But understand, between passion, people of God are still people of God. We're still consistent. We still attend church. We still come together and meet on a regular basis because we want to be consistent in that regard. But people who live only on passion have nothing but sadness and negativity in between those times of passion. In fact, sometimes that passion is merely covering up a certain sadness they have not given to God. Passion blinds. Passion covers up truth. This Babylon is a very passion-based spirituality. Be the lady of the church. Be the lady of Christ who is going to follow God no matter what. And it's not merely based upon passion. It says about her that she did immorality with God. What is your view of God this morning? Is he far away? Is he a disciplinarian? Is he the Lord and Master that is distant and we prayed him far away? Okay, you can still be a Christian and think that way, but I want you to understand that God does not want to be far away from us. God does not want to be a far away Master and Lord. He wants to be literally, as I said, married to us. That's really how God views the church, that he's married to the church in a good marriage. Not a marriage with no communication. Not a marriage where people don't see each other. I'm talking about a marriage where every single day we are in communication and communion with God. That's what God wants. God wants to be so close to us that he gave his son to die on the cross. Almost as if a pre-marriage gift. Let me show you how serious I am about you. My son will die for us to get married. That's how much God loves us. He does not want to be distant for us. So if he is distant from you this morning, that's not God's intention. He wants to be as if married to us. So much so that if we betray him, if we sin, in God's view, that is betrayal. That is betrayal to him. This is what Babylon is consistently. Although you were meant to be married to God, although that was your purpose, no, you live in immorality, betraying God over and over again by our sins. And we may think a small sin is no big deal, but for God it is a big deal. He loves us so much. But even a small act of betrayal is still betrayal. And for those who are married, you feel the same way. If our spouses betray us in a small way, it's still betrayal. Such it is with God and our sins. He takes us that seriously. He loves us that much. They have taken idols. Babylon has decided to be married to idols instead, rather than being married to God, married to Christ. Isaiah 54, verse 5. Let's go to Isaiah 54, verse 5. The entire Bible talks about how God wants to be married to us. This is not a new concept. This is not a concept only in one book. The whole Bible says this in various ways. Isaiah 54, verse 5, "For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth." It says Revelation said Babylon was a sensual-based morality. Morality based upon your senses. Morality based upon whatever feels right. And I do pray this morning that we're not following whatever we feel is right. Because what we feel is not always going to be what is right. Quite oftentimes, what you want to do, the Bible says, say no to yourself. Deny yourself and your own desires. And thereby find God's true desires, thereby find true happiness. It does seem to be quite opposed to what society says. Society says, do what you want and you'll be happy. No, it doesn't happen. The Bible says, do what God wants and you'll be happy. And that does happen. There's evidence of this. We have records of people who obey God and being happy, and records over and over again to this very day. Just look at the world. People doing what they want. Are they happy in this world? No. This world is full of unhappy and wrath and people who are angry with each other because they are unhappy. Babylon's pretty messed up. It's describing a really difficult situation here. Babylon is bad. But I ask everybody here this morning, who is trapped in Babylon this morning? Who feels something about Babylon there? Are you trapped in Babylon right now? Do you live in Babylon and want to move out this morning? Well, here's where you can go. The Bible has a place to move to, from, and leaving Babylon. The Bible also has a good place called Zion. Zion. Just like Babylon, Zion was a real place. There was a real place. You can go to a hill of Zion today. Zion is a hill outside of Jerusalem right now, but it turned into the symbolic meaning, the pure meaning of righteousness. See how the Bible talks about Zion, and I ask everybody here, do you want to walk into this place? Do you want to be here rather than in Babylon, which is meant for destruction? It's going to be destruction. Psalm 50, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 50, verses 1 and 2. The mighty one, God, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shone forth. More Psalms today. Psalms is a wonderful book. The biggest book of the Bible, so we should be hearing about it more and more. Psalm 76, 1 through 3. Psalm 76, verses 1 through 3. God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. His tabernacle is in Salem. His dwelling place also is in Zion. There he broke the flaming arrows, the shield and the sword and the weapons of war. In Zion is where you find repentance. In Zion is where you find protection. And in Zion is where you find recovery. I think Bob mentioned that in Psalm he read, you can feel young again, it says in that verse. In that Psalm he read. Spiritually speaking, we can feel young again through Zion. It's a recovery of what he's talking about. Let's go to Isaiah 4, 2 through 6. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. And you know, God wants to bring back how wonderful we should be. God wants to restore how happy we should be. God wants to restore how strong we should feel. Isaiah 54, 2 through 6. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of the survivors of Israel. It will come about that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory will be a canopy. There will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. And I pray we all feel this way. I pray we feel safe. I pray we feel protected this morning. And I pray the dirty grime that we came to Zion with is being washed away and is washed away. Babylon, if you read in Revelation, was a popular trend of all nations. All people around the world run to Babylon. We know for sure most people around the world are going to be running in a world of direction. It is a popular trend towards, unfortunately, destruction. It's like lemmings who are running over a cliff. Running in the same direction, seeing people in front of them die the same way, but thinking, I'm different. Thinking it won't happen to me. Thinking in my pride, I'll do the same thing, but somehow escape. No, their destruction is very known and clear. There's a record of this. But Zion is for those who want to do what is right. And that's few. It's few compared to the many who want to do what they want to do. The book of Joel, chapter 2. 28 to 32. Now, Joel 2 is also the foundation of the very famous passage in Acts 2. Before the very first people were brought into the church, before the very first baptism in the new covenant, we have this words being spoken here. Joel 2, verse 28, it will come about, as you recall, it will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Peter quoted that in that first, very first sermon. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. But here's the rest. I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape. As the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. You can't escape Babylon. It may seem as if I have no choice. Everybody's doing it. How can I escape this trap of my own mind, of my own society, of this whole planet, of money? Go to Zion. Babylon captured many nations, but people from all nations and from all people will be saved. The thing about Christianity is everywhere now. It's all around the world now. Every continent, every people, every color, there are people who are worshiping Jesus Christ. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And it will come about in the last days, the mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the house of the Lord, will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways, and that we may walk in his path. For from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is what we are teaching the nation. We as a church are the instructors. The Bible instructs us, and with the Bible we instruct the nations what's going to happen. We are in that Zion. We are teaching the entire world. Look around, we see people of all color, even in this church. This prophecy is happening right now as we speak. Everybody is being taught the word of God. So I ask you, as we close, do you feel trapped in Babylon today? The Bible is very clear, repent from that. Turn away. This morning we're talking about repentance, tshuva, that old Hebrew word, shuv. Repent, walk away from, make a U-turn, and drive the opposite direction from your sins. It is not just a mental idea. It is not just feeling bad. Repentance is actively turning around and walking away. If that is your attitude this morning, then believe in Christ that he died for you, that he died and rose again, and be baptized and be saved. Praise the Lord. We're going to see somebody this morning who's walking away from Babylon this morning. We're going to have a baptism this morning right after this. And I praise God. Amen. You should all be saying amen. We got a baptism today. Amen. And this is what we're here for. We literally are here to see people being saved. We are here because we are saved. I want to hear amen for that. Amen. Amen. Now, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we close, I want to read Zechariah 2, verses 6 and 7. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. This is what is happening. And we're going to witness this morning. It says, Ho there, flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord. For I have dispersed you as the four winds of the heavens, declares the Lord. Ho, Zion, escape, you who are living with the daughter of Babylon. Escape from that.